Hey, welcome to the List Film Podcast. Yeah, that's who we are. We're a weekly podcast where we pick a topic, a film topic, and then we list, discuss our top five favorite films, actors, actresses, favorite film dogs. Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one.
Benji. Yeah, we haven't talked about that. We should.
Yeah, that's true.
Favorite
animal.
Animal villains.
Ooh. Ooh.
Cujo?
Nice.
Yeah.
I should probably get on mic.
Yeah, you should. And it's four of us. For the new listeners, it's four of us. Myself, Ricardo.
Jenny.
Adam Scott.
Kevin.
And today we have guests. Our guest, you may know him as Rupert Pupkin, a.k.a. Brian Bob Freelander.
Yes, that is my Twitter.
Also known as Brian Sauer.
Yes, indeed. Thank you for having me, by the way.
Yeah, and you may know him from, what are your two blogs? You have one blog, and then I feel like you have more than one blog, but no, you have one.
Well, I guessed on a couple different ones, but yeah, Rupert Pupkin Speaks is my main thing.
And what's the link to that?
It's just rupertpupkinspeaks.blogspot.
There it is.
I'm running a series called Bad Movies We Love right now, and it's...
I just saw that you just watched Charlie's Angels 2.
I started it last night. It looks really good on Netflix Instant. Actually, that could be a stream of the week. Full Throttle, yeah. Well, somebody, not to spoil a list, but somebody that submitted a list to me had that on there, and I've never seen it. And my wife and I were just kind of like dumbfounded.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, it goes for it. It really goes for it.
It's like a two-hour music video.
Yeah.
That with no music.
Yeah.
it's got some techno in there.
Yeah. I guess so. it does have Shia LaBeouf.
That was weird.
No Bill Murray, though.
Which is sad.
Yeah.
Has Shia LaBeouf?
Yeah, that was weird. He's young and stuff,
too.
It just the cuts to him, and I was just like, wow.
I don't remember that at all.
I don't either.
Yeah, I don't
he's like
him
Freaks and Geeks young. Like, he's just a shade older than he was in that Freaks and Geeks episode with the mask on.
Aw, I like that episode.
That's an awesome episode.
And Shia LaBeouf just, I just saw that he was in that Cigarose video, Full Frontal.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
You saw his beef? You saw the beef's beef?
Yeah.
Le Beauf's beef.
If you're into LaBeouf, then you might want to check that out. He's in the buff.
How many puns can we...
LaBeouf's in the buff.
Oh, Shia.
And what else? What else will we get into? Well, let's talk about movies that we've seen in theaters. What's going on, guys? Kevin, you look like you wanted to say something really interesting.
Yeah, he's got something going on.
What did you see?
I saw Safety Not Guaranteed.
Nice. Ooh. I was just talking to him about that before you guys came.
Oh, really? Did you see it?
Yeah, we saw it last weekend.
It's. I mean, I really liked it. I have a huge crush on Aubrey Plaza, and she. it becomes enhanced watching the movie.
Yeah.
I did not expect the ending, and that was great.
Yep.
It was good. You go along for the ride. All the actors do a really good job. That's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I've been selling it as a, and this is totally out there, I guess, but like a sort of a indie rom-com version of Take Shelter.
Yeah.
It's got elements of that going on. That's not really accurate. But
is that how the pitch went, I wonder?
Yeah, I'm sure. they saw the scads of money that Take Shelter made.
You know what would have been amazing if Michael Shannon was in it, playing a romantic comedy? You're like, what? He's like, I love you.
I love your Michael Shannon.
Yeah.
It sounds like the guy from Warrior. What's his name? Nick Nolte. It sounds like Nick Nolte. He's like, what?
Turn the ship around.
Yeah.
I know, that sounded very pirate-like.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah.
I went to Pirates Adventure for the first time, so there's a little residual.
How
pirate.
Was that?
It was okay.
It was like it's a pirate version of Medieval Times, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
I don't know about this.
Yeah, it's right next door to Medieval Times. Although I was a little upset when I found out what it was before. It was either Buffalo Bills or Wild Bills.
Yeah.
I was like, I would have much rather seen a Wild West show than a pirate show.
I think I went to the Wild Bills one as a kid, to the Western one there.
And it still looks like I walked inside and it still looks like a saloon. They just put up some pirate stuff. I was like, this looks like a saloon. This doesn't look like a...
What do they make you eat with your hands? Like
no.
Medieval Times?
Apparently, pirates are allowed to use silverware.
Okay. Everyone knows that.
Not the most vegetarian friendly cuisine.
Really?
Yeah.
I had broccoli and potatoes.
Well, at least you had some things.
This is true.
Yeah.
All right. So, guys, well, how much would you guys pay to see this movie? Safety Net Guaranteed.
I would pay ArcLight prices.
Okay.
Yeah, me too. It was good. It's definitely one of the best ones I've seen this year. Personally, I really liked it.
Nice.
And no, yeah, you're right about the Aubrey Plaza thing. Like, I like her on Parks and Rec, but this movie gives her an opportunity to turn a little bit.
A little bit
more real. I mean, not that she's not. I feel like she's playing herself on Parks and Rec pretty much anyway. But she's more emotional, and it makes her feel more. I don't know.
Human.
Yeah. It does. Yeah. Because she does really good. She's very natural.
Yeah.
Nice. I do like her.
She's adorable.
Yeah. I like her, just how dry she is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
but I think she could be a good actress, like, meaning she could be more human.
Yeah. No, this is definitely showing the signs that she's, you know, progressing. Yeah.
Nice. Anything else you guys saw?
No.
You haven't seen Moonrise Kingdom yet?
Not yet.
All right.
Hopefully this week.
Excellent. Excellent.
Yeah, we should go. I haven't seen it yet either.
Did you see it?
No.
I did see Moonrise Kingdom.
Okay. So you guys already talked about it or something?
No.
Okay.
We haven't talked about it.
No.
Okay.
No.
Well, I guess we can't.
We just talk about it then.
Well, no, we don't have to.
No, you can talk about it.
No, wait, did you see it, Brian?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. Yeah, talk about
it. Let's talk about it.
Did you see my shirt?
Oh, there you go.
He's wearing a Moonrise Kingdom shirt.
So what you're saying is you didn't see it yet, but you're wearing that shirt in preparation for seeing it after we're done recording.
Yes. Okay. Actually, well, I'm not seeing it for a few days, but I'm not changing out of this shirt.
If you follow Brian on Twitter, you know how much he enjoyed this movie.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Both Brians.
I follow Brian on Twitter, but I don't live on Twitter. So. Oh.
Yeah.
I spend too much time on Twitter.
Yeah, it's I've been avoiding it for some reason.
That's not a bad idea.
Social media in general. I've been like, whatever, I'm going to read a book.
That's good.
I get behind that.
Getting all snobby on us?
No, it's not, like it's not like I was reading a good book. I was reading, you know, The Hunger Games. So.
Oh, I thought you were reading like Daniel Steele or something.
You're like, I'm really into this magazine called Mad.
Something about a red book. That counts as a book, right? Because it's got book in the name.
Something about highlights?
Yeah. Oh, highlights. I love highlights magazine jokes. People don't make enough of those.
When you go to the doctor, you find a lot of highlights.
Exactly. Magazine. That's mm-hmm. exclusively.
Are you still going to see your pediatrician?
No, a while back I was a dentist and I'm like, oh man, I really miss these magazines. And then like I kind of like hoarded all the magazines because I was gonna be waiting for a while. So I made sure like I got the stack of highlight magazines. I'm like, before the kids came in.
I just imagine a bunch of kids like, hey, mister, can I read some of the highlights?
I'm not done with that.
No, go away. I'm doing the picture search.
Highlights.
Yeah, so, all right. So let's get into. So nobody else watched anything?
I did.
What did you watch?
Jeez, we just not even look over here.
Well,
it's like,
well,
I don't even exist.
I asked earlier and you're like, me, sir. You have like a little Mickey Mouse voice.
Wow.
You're like, hello, sir.
Oh, I saw Rock of Ages.
Mm. Oh, okay.
How was that?
Because that bombed this weekend.
Did it?
Yeah.
I thought it actually might. that's exactly what I said. No. Okay. The thing is, Ricardo would hate it. It's. I'm sure it's a really fantastic stage play or stage musical. And it's a really good musical. It's just, it's not good for a movie, but of course all my musical friends loved it and I loved it, so as long as you like musicals, you're gonna like it. It's just one of those things that Ricardo's gonna hate it, and it's not gonna do well in the box office because it's a set crowd. Like, it's only the musicals crowd that's gonna like it.
Tom Cruise fans?
No.
What about Scientologists?
Maybe Scientologists. No. Alec Baldwin was terrible in it, but Catherine Zeta-Jones was by far the best part of the movie.
Really?
Wow. She stole it. You don't hear that often.
No, I don't really. I'm not a big fan of Catherine Zeta-Jones, and she's kind of older now, and so I was like, she's not going to do well in a musical, dancing and singing. But of course, she still has that background to her, and she's fantastic. She was so good in it.
I like how you say she's old. Er.
Yeah, I don't want to offend anybody.
I haven't liked her since, I think, High Fidelity. I mean, I didn't like her character, but she was good.
Yeah, she was good in that.
I remember liking her.
Yeah, but it's definitely a musicals thing. I don't even know if you would like it, Adam, and I know how much you like musicals. Cause it's not
I want to see it.
It's not like a Singing in the Rain musical. It's seriously a stage show in a movie. Like, that's what it is. Every scene goes from one song to the next song. There's barely any dialogue. It's like one of those.
Really?
Yeah.
Alrighty.
But, I mean, it works for what it is. If you know what you're getting into, then you're going to like it.
Any nudity?
No, I don't think so. I don't think it's
any Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Shia LaBeouf does full frontal.
Oh, God.
So, all right. I'll skip it then.
The only reason
I wanted to see it was to see Tom Cruise, you know.
He's okay.
Tom Cruise.
He's really weird in it. Just like he's really over the top, and I know that that's kind of what they're going for, but it's almost like he's too over the top. I don't know. It's just like, all right, you know, step back a little bit. We get it. You think you're hilarious.
What's Tom Cruise? He should have wore the fat hands, remember? Tropic Thunder.
Les Grossman hands. Yeah.
Just the hands, though. Same long hair and, like, you know, just that, really fat hands.
That'd be really bizarre.
Yeah. Brian, you have a stream of the week for us?
I took down a few that I thought were interesting that are recent. First one is Full Tilt Boogie. I don't know if you guys have seen that. It's basically like the making of From Dusk Till Dawn.
Yes. It's on the double feature From Dusk Till Dawn.
Yeah. If you own the disc, you've probably seen it. Yeah. But if not, it's pretty good. I actually kind of like it better than the movie, personally. But
it was really entertaining.
I thought so.
Yeah. And I think just seeing like Tarantino be Tarantino is really entertaining.
Yes. I kind of like that, actually.
I wish he had a reality TV show, because that'd be really fun.
I would watch that. I gotta say, I don't watch any reality TV currently, so
yeah. And Clooney is really good too, like really funny and, you know,
yeah,
witty.
Yeah,
and
they have a bit where they keep doing spit takes, if I remember.
Yeah,
and Clooney does a great spit take. I don't know. They just keep setting each other up for spit takes. I don't know. That doesn't sound funny when I say it, but it is funny in the context.
Spit takes are usually funny,
but yeah. These orchestrated ones are just, I don't know. It's really so. There's a bunch of Rocky movies on now. I think 2 through 5 are on there, but my recommendation would be Rocky 3. That's my favorite Rocky movie. Adventureland, really good. If people haven't already seen it, I'm assuming everybody here has probably seen it, but.
It's a fun movie. Brian, could you angle the mic towards? Yeah, perfect. Thank you, sir.
And Traveler was the last one.
Traveler, what's that?
That's a con man movie from the late 90s with Bill Paxton and the girl from ER. I cannot remember her name.
Julianne Margulies?
Yes.
How did I guess? First guess.
Well played.
Yeah, it's kind of like a Southern The Sting kind of thing. Sort of something like that.
I'm interested.
It's good. It's good. It's a good little indie thing. Anyway, that's what I got.
All right. So this week, Jenny, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with your stomach?
The mic is falling. Sorry.
That's all right.
I got that one. I got the one that falls. Thanks, guys.
Wait, but we never actually said anything about Moonrise Kingdom.
Oh, so let's talk about Moonrise Kingdom before we move on.
Well, we could wait. Talk
okay.
about it.
Okay, we'll wait. I feel like it's taking something
close. All right, I got you. We got
I don't
it.
Know why you want to wait. What are you talking about?
Yeah, let's talk about it now.
No, yeah, let's talk about it now.
This is the best time, obviously.
We're talking about movies we've seen. all right, so Brian, you said you want to go first?
Yes. So now let's... my number 5, not surprising, is Moonrise Kingdom.
Wait, what?
What?
Holy crap.
Wow. Did you like it?
I did like it quite a bit. Yeah, for me, it's like... It's slotted in right behind my Wes Anderson hierarchy is like Rushmore, Bottle Rocket, Mr. Fox, Tenenbaums, and then this, and then Darjeeling, followed by Life Aquatic. And that's not to say that I don't like Life Aquatic. I like them all a lot, but I just like it slightly less. But anyway, this one immediately jumped right in the middle there, and I feel like it's going to move up each time that I see it. It's a great Wes Anderson film. It's a great summer movie. I mean, it's just all about, you know, being on this island during the summer. You know, yeah. He's in khaki scout camp. I don't want to give away too much because if you guys haven't seen it, but it's a great, I think it's going to be a good summer movie for me anyway.
Yeah. And it's also like a really good, you guys all seen it, right?
No, only I've seen it.
Only you've seen it.
Kevin and Jenny have not seen it. Yet. Yeah,
sorry. Again. I really like that it's kind of like a really like innocent love type of tale. Like it's like it's not romantic love. It's like innocent puppy love. And it's a cool story.
I don't think the two characters would appreciate you calling it puppy love.
Yeah. I don't think they would either. Yeah. But,
you might get stabbed.
Yeah. In the eye. I really enjoyed it. And, yeah, it's a really good summer film, even though it is the summer. It's a summer camp. Duh.
Yeah, I mean, it's not as explicitly summer as maybe some of the other stuff we're going to bring up, but
yeah.
I have read some descriptions of it, you know, summer 1965,
yeah, okay.
Et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, hurricane season is during summer, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, and I don't think...
Spoiler alert.
I don't think, yeah, he'd be at khaki scout camp you know, yeah, for a weekend. It felt a bit more summerish,
yeah,
to me.
Yeah.
I think that makes sense.
No, yeah, totally.
But I actually wasn't a fan.
Really?
Not a fan of the movie?
Nope.
You a fan of Wes in general, or what do you think?
Yeah, this was my least favorite.
Okay. What didn't you like about it?
It was boring to me. It didn't pull me in. And I know that's weird to say about, like, a lot of people think Wes Anderson movies in general are boring.
Yeah.
But this is the first one I'm like, okay, yeah, this one's boring to me. I see it now. I don't know.
I mean, it is him doing what he does, and that's,
yeah, like, I don't really, I feel, maybe it's just me being dead inside and having child protagonists. I'm like, nah. Without the nostalgia factor of a child protagonist, that I was a child when I saw the movie,
mm-hmm,
I guess I just can't go along with it. Because I mean, they're both really good, but I just wasn't feeling it.
Do you like movies with child protagonists in general, or are you?
Not anymore, really. It's been a while.
No, that's cool.
I don't know. It's like, it's touch and go. It's weird. But that seems to be the easiest scapegoat. It's like, child protagonist.
No, it's totally fine. I just was literally talking to one of my coworkers today who absolutely hated it. You know, he was so let down by it. And he's big Wes Anderson fan. He's got posters in his office of, like,
yeah,
three of the movies.
It's not a hatred. Like, I didn't hate the movie. It's not.
No, that's true.
It wasn't. It just, I wasn't as much a fan of it as I am of everything else. I even prefer Life Aquatic to it.
Sure.
But I mean, again, also falling on after seeing Prometheus, it's more enjoyable than Prometheus. It's like the bar was really low. So I mean, I'm like, all right, well, at least it's not Prometheus, but I was still a little bit disappointed with
sure.
it. But it has really great performances. I really liked Ed Norton.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's perfect. He's perfect. Wes Anderson.
And those two kids are really great. I just, for some reason, yeah, I couldn't go along with it. It didn't suck me in.
Fair enough.
But yeah, I do think it's a good pick. It made me think of this list.
Yeah. Cool. Cool way to start us off. Jenny?
All right. So my number five is from 95, and it's a childhood favorite, and I picked Heavyweights.
Oh, nice.
That's a good one.
That's on my honorable mention.
I almost swore you out, but then I realized it's an honorable mention. So. Missed me that time.
Damn it.
Is that Apatow produced, or Apatow's involved in that?
I think somewhere? He helped yeah. write it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he wrote it, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you can feel that a little
yeah.
bit.
It definitely has yeah. like early Apatow feeling to it. Yeah. And that isn't the first movie that Ben Affleck, Ben Stiller directed, right? Who directed this? Do you know?
Stephen Brill.
Okay. But it does have that heavy like Ben Stiller feel to it, which
yeah.
he plays the camp.
The psycho camp guy.
I feel like it's an extension of his character from Happy Gilmore.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's really the same guy.
Or from...
Yeah, no, Happy Gilmore and
yeah,
and,
okay, and Dodgeball.
Yes.
Yes.
It's
yes.
the same,
it's
same
that,
character.
That Ben Stiller.
It's like the road. This is the midway between those two characters.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, my gosh. It's so funny. I love it. And it's a childhood favorite, so
yeah, it's
super nostalgic.
More of a classic. It's really good. People don't talk
yeah.
about that movie enough.
I need
yeah.
to see it again, like, soon, because it's been so many years that I need to watch it again to make sure that I still feel the same way about it.
I am 90% sure that it holds up.
I think so, too.
Yeah,
yeah.
I just watched it within the last 8 months, and I thought it was good.
Oh, okay, good.
It held up for me, anyway.
Perfect.
It's done in streaming, right? That
I don't know.
No, I couldn't. Yeah. I think it's on DVD.
Yeah. I hate that. I want it on
No, that's a streaming movie. That should be on streaming.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, it really should.
It's a really, really fun movie. And all the kids are great.
Yeah. Sean Weiss.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people.
Goldberg on
yeah.
Mighty Ducks. I love the scene where he comes back and pretends, like, it's the homage to One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Oh, that's right.
He's pretending to have been lobotomized.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And that's got a Freaks and Geeks connection, too. That main kid was one of the friends of the freaks, the one of sort of the extraneous characters. Do you remember this guy?
Oh, yes, I know.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know.
I don't know that guy's
yeah.
name, but he's one of the main dudes in this, and he was always kind of a
he was like in the group of friends, but not the main one of the main
yeah like,
freaks.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
There's so many people in that movie, in that show that you're like, oh, Ben Foster.
Oh, I know.
Ben Foster plays the mentally challenged kid.
Yeah. Actually, this guy is making fun. In the pilot, this guy is one of a couple people making fun of him on the bleachers before.
Right.
I don't want to spoil the pilot for people, but before something happens with Lindsay. But
that's right. That's right. Yeah. That's right.
But they're talking to him. I think he's talking about the president or something.
I think Lindsay.
They're teasing him.
Yeah, he's like, what do you think of our president or something?
Yeah.
And
he's one of
Lindsay tells him off or something. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, no, he's my buddy. And
yeah
it's that whole.
I see this guy on a lot of like network TV shows now. Like he was on like King of Queens. I always see him.
Oh, we still don't know his name though, do we?
Yeah, we don't know his name.
I gotta look him up. But
All right. So cool. First two picks. I'm liking them. No overlap so far.
Close.
Yeah, just wait.
Yeah,
that was close.
My number five.
A little
I picked,
too close.
I know. I picked 1989's. Well, this movie was written by Michael Imperioli of The Sopranos fame.
You know, really?
Summer of Sam.
I was wondering if someone was.
Oh no, that's wow! I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, I went dark.
I haven't seen that all the way through. I got to watch that movie. It's ridiculous. I think I own it too.
It took me a really long time to watch it all the way through.
I think there was something. I'm having whatever you had because I don't know why, but I've heard it's great. I've heard a lot of people say they really dug it. Did you like it?
It's my least favorite Spike Lee.
Really?
Least favorite.
Yeah,
I really dug it because it made me feel uneasy. The whole movie makes you feel very, very uneasy, and I think it's really, really, really well made. And I'm surprised because I'm like, who directed this movie? And it's like, oh, Spike Lee directed this movie. I'm always surprised.
It's like watered down, Do the Right Thing, but with the serial killer in it. Because it's got that whole summer, like it's summer and it's a heat wave.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about tensions. Do the Right Thing. Somebody's going to have that.
Yeah.
I mean, I enjoy it, but it's not my favorite.
Yeah. And I really enjoy John Leguizamo. I think he did a really good job.
I enjoy him in most things. Yeah, even if it's a bad movie. Like Vanishing on 7th Street or whatever.
What about
Jenny and I just watched that.
Called The Pest.
The Pest.
Yes.
We talked about The Pest a lot. Remember that movie we saw, The Vanishing? Which was a really creepy movie of the Krakatoa thing. We just watched it.
Oh, yeah.
Was this on Netflix?
It was on streaming, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen it.
And, it was really weird.
Yeah, but he was good in it. John Leguizamo was good in it.
It's a shitty movie, but he's good.
Yeah.
Empire, I watched that because he's in it.
Yeah, I watched it too.
Yep.
Carlito's Way.
Yeah, well, that's
Benny Blanco.
Awesome. Yeah.
He's awesome.
He's awesome in that, yeah.
I like him in Die Hard 2.
Oh, shit, I totally forgot he was in that.
Who did he play in Die Hard 2?
He's one of William Sadler's henchmen.
Oh, wow.
Awesome, dude. That's a great pull.
That's awesome. You mean Executive Decisions?
Yeah.
He's in that?
He's good in that, too.
That's a good movie. He's
a good guy in that one.
Yeah.
He is a good guy.
Yeah. I like that movie. They kept promoting Steven Seagal. I'm like, yeah, Steven Seagal's back, guys.
Oh, yeah. That was
and then that is
like,
a great
like, what? What?
Spoiler alert.
Well, he didn't exactly. Okay, well.
If you haven't seen The Executive Decision, it's your damn fault. You should have seen it already.
Yes. No, it's pretty good. That's a pretty good movie.
Kurt Russell's awesome. I did like that. At a certain point, I'm like, yeah, I don't know if he would have, Steven Seagal would have fit in this group of people.
No.
Like, it just, yeah. He would have been like trying to.
He would have just gone down. He would have just gone down and taken shit over. Yeah. Like, all right, fuck you guys, we're done. Yeah. Taking you out, and then he would have said some obscure like proverb.
Yeah,
chance favors the prepared mind.
Yeah. All right, so that's my number five, Summer Sam.
Okay, I'm gonna keep it on the dark.
Yeah,
and I'm going with a movie from 1980, and it's Friday the 13th.
God damn it! God damn it!
Very.
What number?
That's my number five.
Oh, wow.
It's going to be higher. Damn it.
You guys are both big Friday the 13th fans?
Oh, I thoroughly enjoy the series. I mean, as you go further and further on, you really have to enjoy the series.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
I'm diehard. I grew up on them, so I love them all.
I love the Friday the 13th movies. I've gotten many with Brian with a Y. I've gotten in so many arguments about Friday the 13th.
Like he doesn't like him?
No, he doesn't like this one. He doesn't. I told him he missed it, like, because he didn't watch it until like last year.
Oh,
I'm like, if you didn't grow up watching them, you have no frame of reference to appreciate. Like, they're silly, but there's something about them.
Yeah,
they're a lot of fun.
Yeah. I love them like I love Midnight Madness, which is another movie I saw when I was like a kid. And if you see that movie now, it's stupid as hell.
Mm-hmm.
But if you watch, I don't know, if you watch it as a kid, there's something that just really connected. I don't know.
And it's like, there's a level of stupidity where it's like it doesn't meet the stupidity quotient where it's like it's not stupid enough to appreciate it now as a stupid movie. You had to have seen it back in the 80s when you were younger,
or just when you're younger. It doesn't have to be when
not in the 80s.
Yeah, no, it's true.
Sorry, I'm thinking about my childhood.
Yeah,
I saw it way too young.
Yeah,
like most movies.
I I'm like, oh, there's nudity in this.
Yeah. Exactly.
But yeah, that's the reason I watched it. I love, I like campy, and then you, but they try to remake like They try to remade this, right?
Yeah.
Don't they? And they remade like Nightmare on Elm Street.
I don't talk.
No, but yeah, no, but this is what I'm saying. They can't replicate that. They try to do away with the camp and the humor that those movies had to a certain extent, I feel. Especially with like Freddy, that he had the special kind of humor that they can't just replicate.
I hate the quipping Freddy shit. I like the silent Jason. You know, shut the fuck up and kill people. That's all that you need.
Well, it's not a remake. It's not a reboot. But they were billing it as a remake, the new one, 2009 or whatever. Which is complete. I mean, it's like, okay, so it's going to be, spoiler alert, so it's going to be Mrs. Voorhees.
Yeah.
But no, of course not. It's Jason. It's like, it's just such a weird thing. And someone else was talking to me about, we were talking about prequels, and something about Jason X came up. And, and I made him laugh. I'm like, Jason X isn't even canon. And he just started laughing.
Nice.
But it's not. I mean, it's called Jason X. Is practically nothing to do. It's like a reimagining. It's like a one-off. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's such a weird thing. But I love the first one.
What if Jason X was like a horror movie version of Malcolm X?
He only kills white people.
Yeah. And he has the thick rim glasses. It's really like it has a really like hardcore political statement.
That would be an interesting movie.
I don't see that.
I would have seen. I mean, I saw Jason X, and I'm not saying I don't like Jason X. I'm just saying technically it doesn't fall in the canon of Friday the 13th. It's not even called Friday the
13th. Yeah. That's right.
It's a departure.
Jason in space.
Jason in space. With nanomites.
Yep.
Yes. What are we gonna do about that?
It's really fun though.
Yeah,
it is.
And they have a holodeck sequence, which is awesome.
Wow.
So I guess technically I could have that as an honorable mention because I do have a summer camp reference to it.
Yeah, that's true.
Nice. But this movie, the original Friday the 13th.
I mean, like you were saying, how they can't replicate the humor and they try to. But there's just a certain humor in these films that, in a way, it can be, I like to call it brilliance. But
it's a kind of brilliance.
It is. Yes. And
I agree.
I mean, the writers and the directors, everybody who got involved just knew what they were trying to go for, and it's just a lot of fun.
I want to make a horror movie where this is what people that make new horror movies don't get. They always cast like really young, hot 18, 19 year olds, right? You need to cast a guy that's in his mid-30s playing high school kid. That's how it was. It was like this guy had clearly like the thickest mustache. And he's like, man, aren't you glad junior year's over?
Hey. You're stepping on my toes for movies coming up.
I'm sorry.
They played this at the last or a couple years ago, the Big Bear Horror Film Festival on the big screen. It was a highlight of the festival for me. And Victor Miller, the screenwriter, was there.
Oh, wow.
Talking about just his like blatant, was like, yeah, we just wanted to rip off Halloween. And then Carrie came out and the director was like, I want that ending. So I just stole the ending from Carrie. And the music is from Psycho, basically. Yep. And I love it. It works so well.
Yeah.
And Victor Miller was just so frank about talking about it. Like, and he was really excited about talking about the movie and he still loves it. And he knows how silly it is.
Yeah.
And it's great. And I mean, Kevin Bacon gets an arrow through the throat.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh yeah,
you're all gonna die.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Camp Blood. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you get to watch Tom Savini have fun with makeup effects, which is cool. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah, he does great.
It was one of the first Blu-rays I bought.
I will say one downside of the Blu-ray, and I just watched it somewhat recently. That throat next to the arrow through the throat, you can see the prosthetic a little bit too good. They're like his skin is discolored in such a way.
Well, they pointed out in one of the documentaries. So now, I mean, it's always there. Yeah, I can tell, but. Yeah, it's one of the problems with HD.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
I can't complain too much. But so interestingly enough, you guys go from Friday the 13th as your number 5. My number 4 is Friday the 13th Part 2, which is actually my favorite of all the movies. I know it's just a paraphrase remake of the first film, but Jason with the hood is creepy as shit.
Yes,
I stand by that.
Very creepy.
And I saw it as a kid. It was a middle school birthday party, if I remember, and it was on TV. It was on Fox. It was a premiere. And so, I mean, it was edited, but I could only watch little bits of it at a time, and I'd leave the room. Mm-hmm. And then I remember I was at somebody's house. I lived in like near rural Wisconsin, so this guy's house was in the middle of like a cornfield, more or less. Wow. So we went outside after, and we were playing. I don't remember what, but I was scared shitless because we had just watched that movie, and it just totally fucked me up.
Well,
but,
I mean, at least it wasn't Children of the Corn.
Yes, that would have been worse.
But still, yeah. I was the same way with horror movies growing up. Like, I loved them, but I would watch them from like behind the couch.
Yes. There's this
like
fascination.
Creeping from behind the couch.
Yeah.
And I do love... I can't remember... I had it written down at one point, but like the ones... The good ones versus the bad ones as far as the Friday the 13th movies. And it's a... Because it's not... You can't do like Star Trek where it's only the other... Every other one is good. Cause it's spaced strangely.
Yeah.
I like the first four.
I do. Well, I mean... And if you've ever... The later ones are the ones... Like Jason Takes Manhattan is probably... I would say it's the worst, but I also just rewatched Jason Goes to Hell, and that one's just god awful. That one is probably the worst.
Yeah, that's awful.
Like barely Jason.
Has anybody here seen Friday the 13th 3 projected in 3D?
No, I would love to.
It's fucking amazing. I've seen it twice. It blows your mind because it's a different kind of 3D than they do now. I don't know. It's some kind of, I don't know what the hell, but it's not anaglyph. It's not the red blue. It's something else. Mm-hmm. But I've seen it a couple times, and with a crowd, it is like one of my favorite things I've ever seen in a theater.
I want to check that out.
That's, so much fun. That's on my
They'll
list.
They'll run it in
schools.
LA again at some point, but
I feel like didn't they do a Benson movie interruption for that?
Maybe, but I would not want to see it that way. I mean, I don't mind the Benson that idea, although I'm never going to go to that. To be honest, I like Doug Benson, but I'm not going to go to that shit.
Yeah, I mean, it'd have to be a specific movie.
Yeah, no, you're right. Maybe with. You know, like
I thought about going to the John Carter.
That could be interesting.
But I would love to see it in Friday the 13th 3D in 3D on the big screen.
So good,
because watching it on TV and just seeing the 3D without the it's like, oh well, that would have been really awesome. Because it's a lot of coming out at you,
just ridiculous like popcorn,
and that's the
and
one where
he gets stupid,
oh,
stupid
the juggling,
shit.
Yeah. Well, it just makes me think
harpoon in the eye,
House of Wax. Yep.
Oh yeah, House of the Wax. I've seen that a couple times in 3D. That's great.
I've never seen that one in 3D, but it's just like he has the stuff with the yo-yo.
Yes, I love that gimmicky shit. You know,
but that's the one where he gets the mask.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the third one. Yeah, that's good too.
The mask.
But the hood
is pretty creepy.
I just, for the first time, I saw The Town of the Dreaded Sundown,
yeah.
Which clearly they're ripping that off, and it's the hooded guy and whatnot. But, you know, between the hooded Jason and Amy Steele, who I have a total crush on and who is great in this movie and April Fool's Day, and I've got a signed poster, Friday the 13th insert. I got her to sign it. It's in my office right now at work. I love that movie so much. So anyway, that's my number four.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I'm going to go on and on about Friday the 13th.
I'm okay with it. Okay, so my number four is from 2009, and we talked about it earlier. It's Adventureland.
Oh,
that's
nice.
My number four as well.
That's a great pick.
Nice.
That's a great
pick. I laugh
pick.
At you for someone else picking it.
See, this is really cool because people can watch it on Netflix now if they haven't seen it.
Yeah.
They should watch it because it's gotten better every time I've watched it. I've seen it four times now.
Oh, really?
Each time I like it a little bit more.
I need to watch it again.
The best movie of Kristen Stewart?
Yep.
Oh,
no
totally.
No doubt.
Yeah, the
definitely.
Only good movie of Kristen
Yeah, I can't think of another
one. I'm okay with Panic Room.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot
okay,
she's
man.
In
That's
that,
right.
yeah. Yeah. It's a good one.
Yeah, there's a ton of people in this movie. Martin Starr is in it.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds.
Bill Hader.
Yeah. Kristen Wiig.
Yeah,
it's so funny.
I wanted to hate Ryan Reynolds, but I'm like, he's too cool.
Man. Yeah, no, he's got. Yeah. I was just literally talking to a friend of mine who watched it this week, and I was talking to him at work today about it and saying he was talking about Ryan Reynolds. He's just charismatic enough.
Yeah.
Even though he's a sleaze, mm-hmm. he still pulls mm-hmm. it off somehow. I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Is this one of those movies? Wasn't she underage in this movie?
And Kristen Stewart?
Yeah. Like, I mean, her character.
Oh, in the context
her
of
character.
Oh.
I think.
I don't know.
I have no idea.
Because I was watching. I was trying to remember.
I don't want to know where you're going with
no,
this.
No, I'm trying to remember.
Why does it matter what age she was?
Because you would never write a movie nowadays. Like, the studios would be like, no, you're not. No, she's not 17. Oh, she's got to be 18. You know what I mean? And, like, I was just watching Badlands, and she's, like, 15, 14, and he's, like, 21. And I'm like, they would never greenlight this movie, ever. Even if it was a period piece, they would say, no, we're not going to let you do that.
So no Great Balls of Fire.
No Great Balls of Fire biopic. But yeah.
But her character's not underage. She's in college.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I think it's college, yeah. Because they're right. drinking in a bar at one point. I don't think they... I think they are legally drinking in that bar, if I remember, but could be wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
She just looks really young.
She does. Yep. She does. Yeah. All right. My number four. So that was your number four, too?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. We're getting into the overlap here. Yeah. My number four, maybe we have some overlap here, but it stars... My movie stars Will Wheaton.
Oh, nice. I didn't,
Stand By Me.
Honorable mention.
Will Wheaton.
Oh, nice.
You took my number one thing.
Really?
Yeah, I fucking love Stand By Me. No, that's one of my favorite movies of all time.
I need to get that Blu-ray. That's a great film.
This is a really good pick.
I dig the voiceover. Some people have a problem with that. I was looking... It.
They're pink Okami bastards.
And... Richard Dreyfuss, come on.
He even does the voiceover in the Family Guy episode where they do Stand By Me. Yes. He does the voiceover in that one,
That's
too.
A great joke. That is a great joke.
And John Cusack, come on, as the older brother.
Yeah.
He's awesome in that.
Kiefer Sutherland.
Yes. Yes. Oh, yeah.
Scary.
He was scary. Scary. I think he's more scary in this than he is in The Lost Boys. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sure. Yeah, dude.
Because I'm like, I could kill the vampire.
Yeah.
I can't. Ace, he'll shoot me.
Yeah.
God, yeah.
You know who I always
He'll
remember?
Stab
from,
you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then when they're doing the homie tattoos.
Oh man.
I'm like, no.
Making me fuck up the snake part. Sorry. You know what I always remember from this? I feel bad. It's the dad, Will Wheaton's dad, who's like, it should have been you know? That guy, every time I see him, I'm like, that's the dad from Stand By Me, that evil son of a bitch. Every time, that's all I remember him from.
Well, and he's also got Quado.
What's that?
He's Quado's in his stomach.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's right.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
I feel like if I saw him in the street, I'd be like, you know what? You're
That's why
jerk.
He's so angry all the time. He's got a creature living inside his stomach just waiting
sense.
To come out all the
that
time.
That makes sense then. All right. Fair enough.
You open your mind.
Open your mind.
He was just so effective in that movie. And I saw it at just the right age. I'm like, wow, that's the most evil parent character I've ever seen in a movie at that point. Mm-hmm. You know?
This is a great pick.
If you ever meet him, you're like, you know what? You were mean to Will Wheaton, okay?
Fuck you, man. You don't say that to a kid. You don't say that to Will Wheaton. It's Wesley Crusher. You don't say that.
So,
he's going to take over the Enterprise, and that's why. That's why he took over the Enterprise when he got all drunk in Naked Time again.
Oh, my God. Nice pull.
So, yeah. This movie is just great all around. I like when Corey Feldman kind of goes nuts at one point. And he's talking about, like, his dad.
I don't
dad
think he was actually acting. I think they
that's just him.
That just
yeah, that's what they keep saying. They were cast just for who they were, and he was a troubled kid or whatever.
It's, yeah.
I believe
I feel like on the DVD, the commentary about, or the behind the scenes talking about just the way Rob Reiner was working with the kids is really interesting.
Yeah.
Especially for the scene with River Phoenix and Will Wheaton when he's talking about being accused of stealing the lunch money.
What did he tell him? What was the motivation there? Do you remember?
I don't remember, but
just maybe something sad or something.
Yeah, like just I feel like he just was able to cut to the reality of like of a teacher like an adult shouldn't say that to a kid, like an adult just completely
crossing the line
and abusing the trust of a child. And it was really effective. Well, and then they also talk about the train scene, dodging.
Oh. Yeah, I've heard that story a bunch.
Where he's like, you guys are holding us up. The crew is in a hurry.
These men are tired.
They're waiting.
Yeah, that's aww. Rough. Have you heard
that? I haven't seen or heard the commentary at all.
I guess they were just kind of cracking up during that scene, and he just sort of lost it on him. Like, were you guys? And he basically made them cry, and then he was like, "Okay, go."
Oh my god!
So,
I mean,
so they're, when they're crying, they're really kind of crying, which you know, I mean, I guess it with works. Kids sometimes. But he was really teaching them how to act, which is really cool. I mean, I as much as I'm not a huge fan of a lot of Rob Reiner's movies. I got to give him credit for that. You know, I'm definitely mentoring those kids, and I mean, they all turned out to be great actors for the most part. So,
for the most part,
for the most part.
Are you talking about Jerry O'Connell?
Not necessarily. I like Jerry O'Connell.
Tomcats guys.
I used to watch Sliders.
Tomcats.
Tomcats. Oh, body shots. Body shots.
My favorite thing about Tomcats is that. Tomcats.
I love that you have a favorite thing about Tomcats. No, wait.
This is the thing about Tomcats that it played. In Anger Management, and he,
I haven't seen that.
Jay Nicholson's watching it in the plane, and he's like, get your headphones. You're missing crucial plot points.
That's pretty funny. That's probably the funniest thing in Anger Management.
Yeah,
I would guess.
Is,
I haven't
it
seen
is.
It.
That, that is the funniest part, and it includes Tomcats.
That is great.
That's funny.
So yeah, that is my number four.
Nice.
My number four was Adventureland.
Oh,
all right. All right, my number four, 1983, Sleepaway Camp.
Nice. Ooh. It's going horror. Very cool.
Oh, yes. Yes. I have somewhat of a theme you might be able to pick up on. But yeah, this was not this one, but this Sleepaway Camp 2 is the movie where you were stepping on my toes talking about the 30-year-old guy playing a high schooler.
Ooh.
Because that movie, oh my gosh.
It's nothing but that.
It's all 30-year-olds playing high schoolers. Like, that guy is far. Why are these people at summer camp?
Yeah, no, it's creepy. It's at a point where it's creepy.
Yeah, that one's really bad. But yeah. I love this one. This one, the kids look like kids.
Yeah.
Angela in Sleepaway Camp looks like a little girl, and it works very well. And if you, I'm not going to spoil this movie, but you need to watch this movie. If you don't know the spoiler,
who hasn't seen it?
I haven't seen it, but I've seen enough documentaries that talk about
the ending.
Yeah, the ending.
That's unfortunate. That sucks, dude.
Yeah.
That ending's, I just saw that again 2 years ago, and I was very disturbed. I mean, I'm well into a point where I shouldn't be disturbed by it, but it's disturbing.
It's a really disturbing ending.
It just there's anyway. I don't want to give anything away.
Well, it's so it's a horror movie. It's one of the better camp horror movies, and this one
it's about the presentation. I didn't mean to interrupt, but it's about the presentation of that ending.
Oh yeah.
It's not just about what happens, but the presentation.
What makes it more disturbing, though, is hearing a story about how they do it. Like, they get this person drunk.
Yeah.
I didn't hear this.
Yes.
Oh, my.
Because they had to get him drunk to stand out there.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's rough.
I don't even know how to summarize
it. Involves
this
alcohol.
Movie. It involves alcohol and nudity.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Yes.
And it's about summer camp. People are dying at a summer camp. Mm. Nobody knows who it is. My problem with the second one is you know who the killer is right away. That's like, how can you have a horror mystery when you know who's killing everyone? It's like just, I don't understand how they made more after the second one, because the second one is so, like, it's amusing in some respects, but it's just so bad in so many other respects.
I agree.
But the first one, it's a classic, if only for the ending. But I mean, it's got some really random, bizarre kills.
Yeah, no, it's cool, man.
The big pot of boiling water. Just there's like little things where you don't know what's happening, but you can sense that something is amiss. Like certain characters, like, what's up with this person? Like, there's something wrong there. And not the main character, like side characters. It's just really bizarre. And people treating children in ways that they should not be treating children.
Yeah, which is,
like the counselors and the camp owners. Like, one of the camp owners is convinced that a child is killing people. And like confronting them about it. It's like, how do you do that? Like, what kind of sick person confronts a child and accuses them of murder?
One that's watched a lot of horror movies, like, knows it's always the kids.
Or one that exists in the 1980s, which is something it sounds twisted, especially a father of two, but just the way that kids are treated in 1980s films, I do kind of miss it. It's not kid gloves. I mean, they're really, shit happens to kids in 80s movies.
It's true. And parents aren't as, they don't coddle them as much.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe that's it. Maybe they. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's some kind of response to that.
Well, it's the maybe something to do with the Reaganomics of the 80s, where people were just like, oh, everything's great. It's morning in America. Our kids can go out and play, and nobody. Well, they'll be back eventually.
Well, I always thought it as sort of a holdover from the 60s, sort of 70s, like free, sort of free thinking, something that's trickling through. But I don't know. Maybe it's more about what you're talking about. I think, you know, like still like a, sort of a holdover mentality of everything. We can trust that our kids will be okay.
Yeah,
you know, that kind of.
Yeah, everything's going to be fine.
Yeah, that doesn't exist at all now. Absolutely nobody.
Yeah, it's not a lot of people letting their kids play out in the streets or going to camp alone.
Dropping your kids
getting
off,
sent home
movies
from camp. It's like, oh yeah, we're just going to send them home. Like, they'll get there. We're going to send them to camp on the bus, and it'll be fine. We don't have to take them there ourselves.
Yeah.
Just a lot of trusting. But, oh, this movie, Sleepaway Camp. Brian with a Y does like Sleepaway Camp. Good. Better than Friday the 13th.
I can't go along with that.
Because it's so much sillier.
Okay.
He can appreciate it's that it meets that stupidity quotient, sure, which is so much more bizarre and outlandish than Friday the 13th. And I love it. I don't know about the sequels, but the first one is great.
I'll look into that for sure.
I dig. All right, where are we at in three?
Number three.
Yeah.
My number three is a movie called Last Summer from 1969, directed by a guy named Frank Perry that I like a lot. He did a bunch of movies like in the 70s and the 60s. He's actually Katy Perry's uncle. just
really,
really,
wow.
He's dead now, but
way to bring it down.
Sorry,
you're like he's a great man, but he just died.
I think he's most well known for like Mommy Dearest. He directed that.
Oh, okay.
But he also did a movie I love called Rancho Deluxe with Jeff Bridges and Sam Waterston, which is really good. He did The Swimmer with Burt Lancaster, which I love. Okay. Anyway, this is I think it's based on a novel, but it stars. Who's in this? Barbara Hershey, Bruce Davison, Richard Thomas, who is John Boy on The Waltons. And basically it's a group of kids on, I think it's Fire Island in the summer of around, I don't know if what the date is, it's late 60s. And they're sort of, it's like sort of darkly interacting with each other. And they sort of take pleasure in taunting this other girl that's sort of trying to be involved in their group. I don't know. I don't want to give away too much more, but it has this certain atmosphere and this certain darkness to it. That's, I don't know. It just sticks with you a little bit. It's not on DVD. It's played on TCM a little bit. Hopefully, Warner Archive will put it out at some point. But
gotta love Warner Archive.
I absolutely do. I'm a huge fan. But yeah, it's a good movie. It's definitely worth seeking out. You know, it's sort of a drama, dark coming of age drama kind of thing.
Sweet.
Gonna check that out.
Lots of dark summer movies.
Huh?
Yes. So to lighten the mood a little bit now.
Absolutely.
My number three, I actually used in another podcast, and but I just like it, and it reminds me of summer, so I decided to use it again. And it's Dazed and Confused.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Oh, no.
There goes my number one.
No!
That's okay. That's okay. I knew that was good. No, not at all. Not at all. Not seriously. I knew that was somebody was going to pull that out. It had to happen.
Yeah.
It's a great movie. It's
it
just
really
one of the
is.
Best summer movies. One of the best movies of the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great movie.
I put it on Best Ensemble Cast also. And it really is. It's got such a good cast. It's such a good storyline.
Oh.
It's like right at the beginning of summer. So everyone, like right at the beginning, it's school's out for summer.
Yeah.
It's the
yeah.
song. So you know that it's going to be a good
summer
flick.
It sets the tone.
Yeah.
For sure.
And yeah.
It's like one of the best hangout movies like ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh yeah. You can just play it all the time.
You just want to hang out with those people. Just sit there. And it's one of those movies with the ensemble. Sometimes I feel like they drop the ball when they follow different plot lines out. Mm-hmm. And I feel like they do a pretty good job with most of the plot
lines.
Which is tricky to pull off.
Mm-hmm.
And Linklater hasn't. I mean, actually, he's still got it on some level. I haven't seen Bernie, but it's still his masterpiece as far as I'm concerned, juggling all that stuff and bringing the feel of that era so well, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think if you get the criterion, what Chuck Klosterman says, how just the opening of that film puts you right there in that era and that time and just the feel right in the beginning, he just sets the mood
and you're
just hooked.
That's one of my favorite beginnings to a movie ever is when you hear the guitar from Sweet Emotion kick over the before the logo, which I guess is kind of a controversial thing. I guess you got to get, sometimes people talk about, you have to get an okay to do that or something. Like, I don't know what it is, but I've heard a couple times people talk about, maybe not this movie.
Over the studio logo?
Yeah. It's like it's some other bigger deal to play. Like it's not the norm to play it over the studio logo. Like you start it when the movie starts or something.
Yeah.
You know?
Because when you go into a foreign market, they have to keep that.
Yeah.
And I think you have to okay it because sometimes, you know, like if it's Paramount's not going to distribute it, maybe sometimes the foreign distribution. So you have to okay it with the other companies that they're okay with their logos being that.
Oh, okay,
that way.
Yeah. See, that makes sense, yeah. But, I mean, there's just something about that music kicking in before, and then the cars.
That's my favorite thing out of a lot of movies when I see that happens, when you're like, the music's starting, and it kind of like, just it's like, sometimes people tend to talk a little bit. Well, like, yeah, you hear that? But when you hear the music kick in, you're like, oh, shut up. Something's happening. Something's happening, guys.
Yeah.
And all the Dark Knight movies start that way, where there's a little bit of score or a little bit of like ambient noise when the Warner Brothers logo is coming up. So,
I love that. Yeah. I really
Harry
love
Potter's
that.
Like that, too.
Yeah.
I really love that.
Yeah, I do, too.
And,
it definitely makes the mood for the movie. The opening song. Completely
yeah,
makes
amazing.
It
and I don't even know if that's the song he wanted for the opening or not, but I don't care because if you change that now, forget
it.
Oh,
jeez.
Yeah.
That
whole album is good. I think I have the album.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic.
Yeah, it's really, really good.
I just literally had about last week, I think. I had a double feature, Richard Linklater, little film festival. I watched Before Sunset and then I watched Slacker. And I think, like, Slacker was kind of, like, his foray into like, okay, I'm going to experiment with all these storylines. So, yeah. And then he really kind of mastered it and yeah. Music Infused.
I love Slacker too, by the way. That's just a fantastic movie.
I wish more people would do that. Just like a slice of life of all these different people. And I don't feel like it's repetitive. It's very, it's very fresh. And
I don't know that many people do it as well as he does.
Yeah, that's true.
I like it in Slacker. I like it in Waking Life.
Yeah.
I like it in Dazed and Confused.
Yeah. That's true.
No, he really does do it well. Yeah. That's definitely not something everybody can pull off.
Yeah.
He knows how to write the dialogue for all these different characters.
Yeah.
And he does really like a great job doing it.
Yeah, he must be like just a really like a sponge of an observational guy. You know, just remembers all these different character types. Yeah.
I feel like he's very collaborative too, though.
Oh yeah. You know what? You're totally right. They bring a lot to it. Yeah.
Because especially when hearing him and Ethan Hawke and Julie Delpy talk about making Before Sunset. Talking about how, because that was co-written by the three of them. So I feel, part of me feels like he lets them bring a lot to even what he's written and maybe makes it their own. I don't know. I haven't looked into his style a lot, but I get that vibe.
Yeah, that makes sense. I would see him as sort of like an Altman-esque kind of guy. I mean, although I think he's a little bit more, I don't want to say this the wrong way, but more creative than Altman in that like he brings more to it. Whereas I feel like Altman would the selection of all the stuff was more and letting it go, whereas Linklater does that, but he's then involved too,
constructing it once.
So I love Altman. He maybe is my favorite director of all time. So that's not a slight, but I feel like there's a structure there that seems more deliberate he's involved creatively.
Linklater seems more interested in the whole, whereas Altman was more about the characters, which was one of the things. As much as I like Altman too, but that's one of the things about his stuff that bugs me sometimes, the story kind of gets away from me.
No, that's true. That's true. It's definitely not always about that. In fact, rarely about that. Except for The Long Goodbye, which one of my
which
favorite
is amazing.
All time.
Love it. Where are we? Three?
I don't even know
two?
What we're talking about.
Sorry. It's sidetracked.
No, I'm fine with it.
Three?
Yes, three.
My number three is from 1993, and it is The Sandlot.
You son of a bitch. It's my number three.
I came really that's close good, to putting it on.
That was a good one. That's
well, good. These we're in the same number.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's a lot of ties on the same numbers.
Yeah. I know. Cool. At least we haven't.
You guys are in sync. That's awesome.
This movie's fun. I saw it when I was a kid, too. So it was like, I wanted these guys as my friends.
Yeah.
Because they were like, they were kind of dicks in the beginning. And then they were like, all right, we're cool. I like every character. And character is so different. And they must have been hard. I just directed a short film with Michelle that had, you know, my niece in it, little girl, and she's got to be like 4 or 5. But I'm like, man, like it's exhausting. Like I don't ever want to direct a movie with kids, like
With all kids.
Yeah, where your entire cast is kids.
This is all kids, and I imagine it was really, really exhausting for the director to just like keep track of like, guys, stop fooling around,
don't look at the camera.
Yeah,
I just think about that from Little Rascals all the time. They're always telling Darla to look at the camera.
I
mean, this movie reminds me of my childhood because like we would always have a carnival that would come through every year, playing Little League, just doing all these things, and the characters are great, and there's so many just amazing lines that stick with you, like forever.
I still say you're killing me.
Yeah, I do too.
That's become like cultural.
I hear people
that say it. I'm like, there's no way you see the fucking Sandlot.
Exactly.
And that's fine. That's totally fine. But it's cool when a quote evolves to that.
Yeah.
Point.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And you see people like that. Yeah. You definitely are like, oh, this gangster has never seen the Sandlot. And he's like, killing me.
Yeah.
And it definitely like it. Everybody knows that quote, like, and it's such a weird, like, random movie that you know for everybody.
And the s'mores.
The s'mores. Yeah.
You know what? S'more what? I had plenty. Why do I want s'mores?
I'm gonna confess, I've never had a s'more.
Oh my!
What?
Damn. Yeah.
How?
Well, he's never been camping, and that's okay. Something. Yeah,
I've never been camping. It's not ever.
Yeah. That's terrible.
Yeah,
I never killed a man either.
The truth comes out.
But yeah, I love this movie, and even like all the supporting characters, like Dennis Leary as a dad, he was really good and really funny when he's
Karen Allen as mom.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah,
James Earl Jones.
James Earl Jones.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So, This is a really fun movie. And just the fact that, like, how you remember things as a kid, and then when you grow up, you're like, oh, that dog was really small, and I thought it was gigantic.
And, just, and like, maybe not perception. As mean as we thought he was. But.
Yeah, same thing with Stand By Me, you know, like, they're remembering that junkyard dog, and it was probably not.
Yeah.
I feel like those two movies, that's a good double feature right there.
Yes, absolutely.
Summarized.
Yeah. you feel like you want to watch Stand By Me first because it's a little deeper and a little, some at points, really, really sad. And then you cleanse your palate with the sound.
Absolutely.
And
that would be
leave
the perfect
happy.
Way to do it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Because you get sad at the end when you're like, oh, man, River Phoenix is dead, man. yeah. So yeah, this is my number three. Anything to add to that, Kevin?
I don't. I mean,
who directed this? Is this anybody famous? I don't know.
David Evans.
Oh, I don't know. Okay.
He did The Sandlot 2.
Oh,
he did Radio Fire.
Oh,
Radio
Sandlot
Fire.
2.
Okay.
How is The Sandlot 2?
Anybody never seen it?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know anybody that's seen it.
But Radio Fire, I enjoy Radio Fire a lot.
Yeah.
I almost use that for my father's, for the Tom Hanks father, the other father.
Yeah. No.
Brian, you have kids. How far are you going with films? What is the rating you're kind of going with? What's the most like you're like, ah, maybe I shouldn't show my kids this? What's the movie that you're like,
My son, I'm pretty adventurous with him because he's 13 years old.
Okay.
We've been doing a movie night for 7 years.
Oh,
so
wow.
He's seen R-rated films.
Okay.
You know, not that many. But with my little girl, it sort of depends. I think the most intense thing she's seen is like Pee Wee's Big Adventure.
Okay.
Which I always cover her eyes during Large Marge.
Yeah.
And and she loves The Iron Giant, even though that's a little bit of a intense kids movie.
How old is she?
She's three. She's going to be three.
Oh, okay.
But she's just a huge movie fan. She loves.
So one more year till Jaws.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you know what? My son hasn't even seen Jaws. It became
it's
a thing.
PG.
I know. It's ridiculous. I should show it to him, but it became a thing where I kept wanting to show it to him in the theater, and we kept missing it. And now it's coming out on Blu-ray. And also, the other thing is I have a friend who's a big, big Spielberg fan, and he has requested to see the movie with him when he sees it. So we always had to kind of, some nights I was like, oh, I kind of feel like watching Jaws, and I didn't want to, you know, not do it when my friend was around. Mm, so we're going to get the Blu-ray in August, and he's going to come over, and we're going to do the thing. Jaws 2, though. Or 3. Jaws 3. Sorry. I know that's silly.
But it works.
Yeah.
Well, I just felt like I can't
show him.
It
barely ties in.
This is really stupid logic, but I feel like I couldn't show him 2 because there's some ties to the first movie, whereas 3 really has nothing to do
with
the other two.
It's the one-off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So... anyway, sorry.
I feel like if I had seen Jaws for the first time on the big screen, it would have scarred me for life even worse than it already did. And I love the movie.
No, I do too. And I'm definitely scarred by it. And it's definitely something I think about when I go in the ocean all the time.
down in San Diego, where I'm from, they do screenings of it in this indoor pool. I'm like, fuck you. That's not cool. Yeah. No.
They should do it in the ocean. Nope. You know, that would be the shit.
Oh, man.
I would not do it ever. But.
And then do it at night in the ocean.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I have two nieces, and my sister lives with my dad and my parents. And my dad has always had, even when I was a kid, a thing where it's like, if there's no nudity, it's fair. He's always had that. And so, you know.
So he's okay with language and violence?
Yes.
Okay. No, and that's fine. I mean, actually, I don't mind. Language is not a big deal.
From
my son, especially, it's not a big deal. I don't really
So
care.
My nieces have seen, like, Pan's Labyrinth. And Apocalypto.
Wow.
So Sorry. For a while when...
Wait, isn't there nudity in Apocalypto?
It might be, but he's like, it's kind of like National Geographic.
they're indigenous peoples. Yeah. It's okay.
Oh my gosh. I actually like Apocalypto quite a bit.
And I do too. And for a while, like, it was really kind of weird when my sister would drop off the kids at, like, the babysitters and be like, if they get rowdy, you could just play Apocalypto. He's like, this is a joke, right? He's like, no, just they love it.
That's their jam.
Love
that's
it.
Crazy.
And one of my younger niece, the thing that she would focus on is like somebody would be getting beheaded, right? And she'd be like, what? Why does that person have shoes on? it's like the most random things.
That is awesome.
So, yeah, as a kid, I was allowed to see anything, basically.
I feel like if my parents wanted to keep me in line with the babysitter, like, all right, so if it gets out of hand, put on a Runaway Train.
Oh, nice. That's a good one.
He's like, this isn't happening to you.
Terrifying.
I do feel like parents should, I don't know if it push the envelope is the right word, but I feel like people are a little too precious about movies. And I'm not one of those people that's like, oh, a kid can't see anything in a movie that's going to screw him up. I don't believe that.
Yeah.
But I do believe that, and I think all of us probably here have seen something maybe slightly not appropriate at a certain age.
Yeah.
Yep. Mostly. Mostly not appropriate.
Well, and then I was going to say, like, for me, we were talking about horror movies earlier. Those are the movies that ones that scare you and scarred you. I think that's the stuff that drove me to like film to begin with. Yeah. I became fascinated by horror first, and then movies in general after that. Something about that just drew me in.
I can see that.
I'm not looking to scar my child, my son, but you know, I did show him Friday the 13th on the last Friday the 13th, just a couple months ago. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah, and it's really pretty tame ultimately by the standards of a lot of stuff. We've seen tons of violent movies, but I've shown him like Commando, and Commando is like
awesome.
Absolutely, it's maybe my favorite Schwarzenegger movie, but it's like way more violent than Friday the 13th. It's really
and more fun about the violence.
Yes,
that attitude towards the violence,
and that makes a difference.
Quips.
That certainly makes a difference. But
remember
when
I told you I'd kill you last? I lied.
That's a great fucking movie.
I remember Commando was one of the first movies my dad got on VHS, and that tape got worn out because I'm like, yeah, man, I'm like, man, I wish I dressed like John Matrix.
I've really come to appreciate it more as I've gotten older. It's really because the Terminator was always my thing. The Terminator was the first VHS tape I ever bought. I love Schwarzenegger, but Commando has really taken over for me. And even Last Action Hero has sort of grown a lot in my estimation personally in the last while. So
I was listening to one of the commentaries or interview with somebody in Commando, and they were talking about how Vernon Wells wasn't originally cast in the movie. There was another actor that was a lot skinnier and smaller, so when they recast it was like literally days before, so he had to wear really tight clothing.
Oh, that's what that's about.
That's
oh
why
my God.
All the clothing's really amazingly tight on him.
Oh my God.
Because it was a different actor, and
that's
he just
hilarious.
Yeah, so. And it, like the pants were really like it was like high water pants, so you had to wear
them into his
he had to
tuck
into the
time.
Boots all the time.
But that added an element to him. I was like, he is a bad motherfucker.
He doesn't care how he dresses. He's wearing like chainmail. Like.
He's like inviting you to make fun of him so that he can kill you.
I know.
That's really what it's about.
I know.
Sorry, I didn't sidetrack.
That could take place during summer for all we know.
You know, it's a good point.
That's true.
That's a good point.
She wasn't going to school.
Yeah, I was going to say Melissa Mallow's home. You know. Yeah.
I want to know what the sandwiches were. Because he asks, what's in these sandwiches? And he's like, you don't want to know. And I'm like, what's in the sandwiches? Like, what did you put in them that we don't want to know?
Where are we?
I don't know. Where are we?
Number three.
You're number
Adam's
three.
Number three.
Oh, okay. All righty. I can do this. Number three, summer movies, right? 1981, The Burning.
Oh, nice.
I love
this. I was going to mention that when you mentioned Sleepaway Camp. That's one of my honorable mentions.
Sweet.
It's a great
slasher. So we talked about how much I love Friday the 13th. This I saw much later. And honestly, I kind of love The Burning more than Friday the 13th. I don't understand why.
No, I do too.
Friday the 13th got so many sequels and The Burning had never got one. Like, I feel like something, it got pushed it got swept under the rug. Because it was such a
I think it just
more
got lost.
Interesting.
I think it just got lost because it was like 80. Oh, 81.
It was 81. It was before.
Yeah.
And it had a more interesting setup, and it actually makes sense for sequels.
Yeah.
It didn't. They don't change villains.
I guess it must not have done well, maybe.
I guess so. I don't know really what happened, but I love this. Has anyone else?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Of course, I had to see a movie that was written by the Weinsteins.
Yes.
That's
written
right.
by the Weinsteins, and it's got Holly Hunter and Jason Alexander in it.
And Brian Backer from Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Yes.
I love that.
And
guy.
Just, I mean, it's better acting than Friday the 13th.
For sure.
It's scarier. Again, better setup.
Gorier kills. Some gnarly
more,
kills in that.
More. Again, it's talking about how much I enjoyed listening Victor Miller talk about writing Friday the 13th. But this one didn't feel like it was just trying to rip off Halloween. This one felt like they had something. Like, I mean, I'm sure it was trying to rip off Halloween, but it felt even more original.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't see Carrie and just decide to tack on a Carrie ending. Some of the scenes they have, like the raft scene. The opening scene with how Cropsey becomes Cropsey. And then just the weird, the way we follow Cropsey and his just kind of getting back to the camp. It's really interesting the way they play around with it.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me a little bit of Basket Case when Cropsey's in the city.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. It's a great movie. If you haven't seen it, and you'd like the Friday the 13th movies, you should definitely check out The Burning.
It was on Netflix for a while.
It was. That's how I saw it.
Is it still? Okay.
Right. This is another movie, which I'm pretty sure I'm not going to step on anybody else's toes, but for some reason, especially Summer of Sam, made me, when we said summer movies, I thought The Burning and Maniac. And the Maniac doesn't really have anything to do with summer, but it just makes me think of Summer of Sam so much.
Maniac is the one where the head gets blown off, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Tom Savini.
Tom Savini.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like
that was a creepy movie.
That was a
that's a
movie.
Really good movie.
It's I was like having a conversation.
Horror movie, Taxi Driver.
Yeah. Yep. Oh yeah. Yeah. That's, I was having a conversation with a friend of mine about that last night, and it's so funny this all this stuff happening so soon relating to this. But yeah, I mean, so wait, now would you say this is one of your favorite movies, or how do you really
The Burning?
Yeah. No. Maniac.
Oh, I love Maniac.
Okay.
I love Maniac.
Well, you know, and this is no offense meant, but my friend and I were both saying that if we found somebody that really loved Maniac, we would kind of have some questions about him as a person, because that movie is just so fucked up.
It is so
disturbing. It's still really disturbing. It's,
oh my, and my, so many, like, just when you think it's as fucked up as it can get.
Oh,
like,
oh,
wait, no. Mannequins. Yep. We're going to throw in some mannequins. Oh, wait, guess what? They're not mannequins anymore. He's just so messed up in so many different levels. This is a movie where I didn't see till later. So I feel if I'd see,
well, and that's, I think that's what I mean more when you're, if you were younger. And now I think people kind of, I don't know.
You can come to it as an adult and enjoy it. Whereas if it's something that you grew up loving, I would have questions.
That's what I think I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Kevin and I saw it a couple years ago, and Kevin, I think I went over to Kevin's, he's like, I'm like, what are we watching? He's like, it's a movie called Maniac. Sit down.
Yeah. Okay. So to put it in a frame of reference, I didn't see it till it came out on Blu-ray.
Oh, wow. Okay. So that's.
But I'd love it.
No, it's great. And Spinell is. And I mean, part of the reason it's so good is Spinell is fantastic.
He is really good.
He's so creepy.
I think I read about it in an issue of Fangoria. I'm like, why haven't I seen this movie? This sounds amazing.
Yeah.
And it was.
No, it's
but
a
again,
classic.
Yeah. If I was a kid, like, oh my gosh, I want to watch Maniac.
Yeah.
I probably wouldn't be here talking with you guys right now.
You'd be stalking someone.
Yeah.
My wife is still scared of bathrooms because of that movie. And I am too to some degree, but since I've known my wife and I know that scene and that scares her more, it makes me more nervous about bathrooms too. It's a creepy scene.
What scared me about bathrooms was watching Witness.
Oh, that's I saw
you're
that really young.
You're gonna
too.
Run into Danny Glover.
Yeah, I'm like, put your legs up.
Now that's a great scene.
Yeah.
That's really well done.
Yeah.
I remember seeing that young too.
Yeah. What number are we at?
I guess my number
two.
Okay, my number two is Little Darlings from 1980, starring Tatum O'Neal and Christy McNichol. And it is. Let me read this little synopsis. A group of teenage girls from Atlanta, the Atlanta area, go to summer camp, and two of them make a bet as to which one will lose their virginity first. So that's basically the setup. It's actually playing on TCM, I think, this Friday night. It's not on DVD. I think there's some music rights.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen this.
It's really kind of cheesy movie, but there's some sweetness to it, some sincerity to the performance. It's an early Matt Dillon role, too. Okay. And so the Christy McNichol, especially, I don't know, she plays the girl from the wrong side of the tracks, so to speak, and she plays it really well. And she brings, I don't know, something to the whole business. Armand DeSante's in it as well. So it's kind of like Tatum O'Neal goes after Armand DeSante, who's one of the guys that runs the camp, and Christy McNichol goes after Matt Dillon, who's like this bad boy from another camp, as their targets for like the person that they want to lose their virginity to. It's, I don't know, there's something, you know, really sweet about it. It's really grown on me, to my wife's chagrin, because I have it on our DVR taped HD from the movie channel. I've had it for like 2 years, and occasionally I'll put it on, and she just rolls her eyes every time.
I miss my DVR, because there were some things on that I had. I'm like, it's
nice
not on
have.
DVD, but it's there.
Yeah, just saved then, there. Yeah,
what happened to your DVR?
I moved.
Oh.
I moved from San Diego to here.
So. Oh, yeah.
They didn't have Cox Communications up here yet, so
no.
Couldn't really bring it with me.
That's a bummer, man.
What year is this movie?
1980.
What is it about 80s movies and like people not wanting to sleep with people from the other side of the tracks? I think nowadays that would never stop a guy. Like, but she's poor. She's from Compton, so.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I don't think that's an issue anymore.
I think it's the opposite now.
Yeah, people seek out
yeah that's true.
No, I mean,
he's
like
she's a slut, dude.
No,
she's
I mean,
in Compton.
No, I mean the opposite with sex, with the sex of the person. So, like, if the guy was from the wrong side of the tracks, I feel like now in movies, girls won't Yeah, or like, yeah. Oh my gosh, he's from Compton. I don't want him. No, I'm not going to go after
but
him.
But the bad boy thing used to be something where
yeah,
girls
so it's
would
like opposite
into,
now.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. Yeah.
I think. I don't know.
It's all that geek chic.
Yep.
I know.
Yeah.
Damn. All right, where are we at? Two? Jenny?
Yeah, my number two, we were talking about earlier, 75's Jaws.
Yeah,
that was my number one.
Okay. That was going to be my number one.
Sorry.
But I just thought
all those times that everyone's taken my number one.
Foiled you. It's an honorable mention because it was a number one already.
I win. I didn't think you would put it on this list.
I mean, granted, it was the first movie I thought of because every time I see a Carter Beach, I'm like, don't go in that water. Do not go in that water, man.
Well, I always think you've got a panic on your hands on the 4th of July.
Yeah.
So that's summer to me, man.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You say Barracuda. People say, huh? What?
The Yule Shark. For my number two, I picked a movie from 1987.
Wait, that's it? That's all we're going to say about it?
That's all we're going to talk about?
Oh. I'm just kidding.
Sorry.
We've only talked
about it 11 billion times.
Yeah. I'm like, I think we've discussed in length Jaws. From 1987, and it's a movie called White Water Summer.
Oh, nice. With Sean Astin.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's good stuff.
Megan again.
Bacon. Yeah, Bacon's back.
Psycho Bacon.
Yeah. He was crazy. For a while, like, this was scary Bacon to me because I'm like, no, I don't want this guy taking me and making me hike and making me, you know, gut the fish. And I had never been camping, so that was, like, horrible to me. Like, no.
So that explains so much now.
Yeah, that
scared you off. Oh, my God.
And Sean Astin was, like, from the city. He was, like, from New York, and he definitely, like...
I love his little interludes where he's, like... explaining the story. I don't even understand where he is. He's like by some trees and he's sort of recounting the story.
Yeah. And it turns out he's like in Central Park.
That's right. Yeah. That's the big reveal at the end. That's right.
Yeah. Because you think like, oh, he's back out camping. Yeah. And he's like, nope, he's in the city.
Doesn't he say not this puppy or some stupid shit like that at the end?
It's a weird movie how it keeps flashing back to him telling the story.
Yeah.
As the older version of him. And it's a really cool movie and all the crazy jokes that they had in the '80s, like the two older guys that are going to camp, they're like, yeah, so he switched the pill, her pill for these candies. And Sean's like, what pill? He's like, the pill, asshole. And it's like, why are you shitting on this little kid? He doesn't know what it is. Chill out. But that was like their big inside joke. And, I love this movie and at the end, like how, just like he saves him, you know, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah,
I'm like, I want to save.
Well, I always thought about this movie whenever I would watch The River Wild. I'm like, dude, he's the same dude.
Yeah,
it's like, that guy needs to stay away from.
That's
whitewater
right. I forgot
rabbits.
That he's. Oh my gosh, I love that sort of wisecracking. Sean Astin.
Yeah.
Did you ever see The Brat Patrol?
Yes.
I love The Brat Patrol, and it's the same kind of Sean Astin that is in that. And Toy Soldiers.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's not the Goonies guy. It's this other wisecracking one, and I kind of miss that one. I miss that Sean Astin.
He was like a smart ass.
Yeah, kind of badass. Yeah. Kind of.
Yeah. And I do. I don't like geeky Sean Astin. I like smart ass. This movie's definitely really cool, and you know, all the like crazy. You could tell when it's a stunt double. Like clearly, this guy looks like he's 30 years old. Sean Astin's like 19. But yeah, that's my number two.
That's a good pick.
Nice.
Honorable mention.
So my number two is from 2001, and I think we've talked about it before on here, and it's Wet Hot American Summer.
Oh, that's an honorable mention.
Damn it.
Honorable mention here too.
God damn it.
You're number one?
That's my number one.
Oh, nice. That's a good pick. I got really close. It was between that and Dazed and Confused for me.
Nice.
I picked Dazed and Confused, yeah.
This movie's just brilliant. Yeah. It's hilarious. I mean, the dialogue, the action, the acting, it's Paul
Rudd.
The absurdity.
Yeah.
Is brilliant.
The sheer absurdity of this movie.
Yeah.
Which is actually completely in line with 90% of the movies about camp.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, this completely makes sense.
Yeah.
That's totally what would happen. They're just, all they're missing is someone killing people.
Yeah. Exactly.
I love it.
I think the only downside to it for me is that it's like David Wayne comes out of the gate so strong, and then his other feature. I mean, not to say that the shitty it does isn't funny, but his other features for me have not reached that.
Yeah,
level.
That's
it's
true.
It's been just diminishing returns, kind of.
You know? I mean, there's good
I love
stuff.
Them, but...
Yeah, there's good stuff in the 10, and there's good stuff in what's the other one?
Role Models.
Yeah. Well, Role Models is pretty good.
Role Models, and then his last one,
Wanderlust. I didn't see.
I liked Wanderlust. Yeah. I mean, it's but still, it's
not
no,
as good as Wet Hot,
no
right?
Wet Hot American Summer.
I mean, that's like a, just a cult classic, man. It's so good.
Well, what's the thing he whispers to the girl, and then she's like, "What did you say?" And he says something like. Like, tickle your ass with a feather or something? And he's like, what? And he's like, I said there's particularly nasty weather. He says something like that, like under his breath. It's really, I don't know if that's the same quote or what it is, but it's very similar to that.
I'm going to go hump the fridge.
Yes. Yeah. There's a lot of cool actors in there.
Christopher Maloney. Yeah. Is hilarious.
Yeah.
Janine Garofalo. David Hyde Pierce. Mm-hmm. We just list people in this movie.
Oh, yeah. This was on my ensemble list. Paul Rudd has a great cast.
Yeah. It's amazing.
It's
funny.
So many good people.
I even enjoy the children, the child actors, the kid who's just talking to the radio, who's not plugged into anything.
Who hasn't showered all year.
And whose VO is done by the guy who played Sam in, what's his name? In Freaks and Geeks, another Freaks and Geek connection.
Oh, yeah.
What's that actor's name? Oh, I can't think of it.
He's got a three-name name.
Yes,
he does.
Who?
Not Sam. I'm sorry, not Sam. Neil. He played Neil in Freaks and Geeks. And I can't think of that actor's name, which is really lame because I should.
Sam something?
Yeah, maybe it is.
Sam Levine?
Yes, Sam Levine. Sam Levine's voice is that kid. And I forget why they did it, but if you listen, you can totally recognize
that. That is his voice.
Yeah, it's very strange, you know, that they did that. But yeah, that's a weird, that whole thing with the kid not being plugged in. It's hilarious.
I love Bradley Cooper and
Amy Poehler.
Yes. They are hilarious.
Yes,
they're
good.
So good.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Cool pick. And it's your number. Who's number one?
That's my number one.
And your number two?
Nice.
Excellent. See? Getting to the overlap here.
I have overlapped with every single person.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Hello. Except for Brian. Except for Brian.
Yeah.
So my number one, we've already talked. Sorry.
So it's number two still.
Oh, number two. That was your number. My bad.
My number two is from 1993, Addams Family Values.
I literally just took it off.
I didn't even think about that one. Yeah. That is totally, summer.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
On Netflix Instant also. Mm-hmm.
It's what's his name? Krumholtz. As the
Dude, I haven't seen that in forever. I gotta watch
Camp
that.
Chippewa. Yes, it means orphan.
I gotta watch that ASAP, dude. I'm moving that.
One of the best summer camp sequences ever. Wednesday. I mean, also, dude didn't have a crush on Wednesday?
Yeah,
that's Christina Ricci's Wednesday.
Yeah,
but she's also just really, really funny. And her deadpan delivery, and in her with Krumholtz, they were both great.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I love everything else in the movie, but the summer camp thing is what,
what
has it on this list. It's so hilarious. Peter McNichol and
Oh my god, I don't know if I've actually seen this thing all the way through.
Oh, you gotta see it.
I just bumped it up the top.
Joan Cusack
plays Deb.
I love Krumholtz too, man.
But Christine Baranski and Peter McNichol as the two camp counselors. Like, we're gonna put you in the happiness hut.
Dude, Peter McNichol used to come into the video store where I worked at, and we were warned never to speak to him about Dragon Slayer.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Apparently he had a bad experience on Dragon Slayer, and my boss said, don't ever talk to him about Dragon Slayer.
But it was okay to talk about Ghostbusters, too.
I don't, you know what? Nobody, I never really talked to him about much of anything. But I can do a great imitation of him in Ghostbusters too. Not necessarily on par with Ricardo, but why am I dripping with goo? That's the only imitation I can do. That's it.
So
did I do this imitation? What are you saying on par?
Well, no, you've been doing imitations all night.
I don't have the repertoire at all.
I don't either.
I'm done.
All my imitations sound like Nick Nolte. What?
Or Mickey Mouse.
Oh, yeah, or Mickey Mouse.
Not a bad thing.
Mickey Mouse. But yeah, this... good pick, man. Good pick.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is for great. Real. I'm going to watch that ASAP.
Yeah.
After Charlie's Angels, Full Throttle.
Do you like this one better than the first one?
I like both myself.
I love them both.
Both, yeah.
I love that.
I don't know that I can pick one of them.
Yeah, it's really tough. I mean, fortunately, the only DVD that I've ever been able to find is both of them together, so I don't have to choose.
Yeah.
Nice.
I really love Raul Julia as Gomez.
I miss him, man.
Yeah.
He's
a
great actor.
How did he pass? Was it just
heart
like
attack?
Heart attack, right?
Yeah. That's what I thought.
He was pretty young.
He was such a good actor.
50s?
Just last movie.
I know.
Wait, what was his last movie?
Street Fighter.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I mean,
I actually love Street Fighter. But that's not a good last movie.
Yeah, to go out
that
on
dude
Street
deserves
Fighter.
So much better.
And what makes it even more painful, though, because it came out after he had died, at least in my memory. Like, he had just died
it did.
Right before. And then it comes out. And then in the movie, when Bison like dies, and then he's got within his suit the thing to revive him. Like, oh man, if only Raul Julia had that. You know, like, you see him doing like CPR. He's like, oh, it just made it worse.
And after the credits, it's one of the first movies where I'm like, for some weird reason, when I watched that movie as a kid, I see after the credits, you see Bison's hand punched through the TV and stuff because he's covered in crap. But I'm like, oh my god, he's still alive. But I'm like, he's dead. How is that going to work?
Reconstructive surgery.
Yeah.
Gomez would have been a really good movie dad. For our movie,
Have we?
It hasn't been posted yet, has it?
Is that the one?
I think it just posted. No, it hasn't. I don't know.
Well, by the time this goes,
that's okay. I'll listen to it when it does.
I think it's going to post. Like, it'll post by tomorrow.
Will it?
Yeah.
Will it?
I just posted the time travel one. So.
Oh, okay.
I just downloaded that.
Nice. All right.
Yeah, he would have been a really good movie dad, though.
Yeah. Yeah. But. And so was Angelica Houston was awesome in that too as a mom.
Yeah, she was great. Everybody's
that's perfect
great.
For
Christopher
her.
Lloyd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, what's her name? I love just everybody. Dana Ivey as she marries cousin.
Yeah.
And then from the first one, I loved. Now I'm blanking on his name. The lawyer from the first one.
Oh.
He's in Alien Resurrection.
Yes, I don't know. I'm blanking too on the name. But both these movies are so awesome. And I like how at the end of Adam's Family Values, Krumholtz becomes Gomez, basically. He's talking to her like, he's like,
and they also steal the ending from Carrie.
Oh, you're right. But yeah, cool pick. So we're
Dan Hedaya.
Oh, I love Dan Hedaya. He is awesome.
Yeah, I was going to say Clueless, the dad from Clueless.
Yes.
He's what's his name? Joe Banks' boss in Joe versus the Volcano.
He's in Commando.
Oh, yep.
He plays the Cuban. It's funny. Oh, yeah. In the 80s, they when they made movies that involved Cuba,
bless you.
They wouldn't say Cuba. They made up a fake country called Valverde.
And what?
The movie, it's supposed to be Cuba, but it's called Valverde.
Oh, I never knew that.
They made up a fake country because they didn't want to call it Cuba. They're like, that's how much we hate Cuba. It's like, we won't even reference
with
it in
no
movies.
Acknowledging of them.
But yeah, so we're number one. Let's do the recap.
Okay, my number five was Moonrise Kingdom.
Yeah.
How's it going over there? My number four was Friday the 13th Part 2. My number three was Last Summer. My number two was Little Darlings. And my number one is the aforementioned Dazed and Confused.
Oh, there it is.
Nice. Okay. So my number five was Heavyweights. My number four was Adventureland. Three was Dazed and Confused. Two was Jaws. And my number one was Stand By Me.
Wait, so has everybody had someone overlap their number one?
I don't think Ricardo has.
Ricardo, you son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Ricardo wins. Yeah. Great, guys.
God damn it, Ricardo.
Number five. My number five was Summer Sam. Four, Stand By Me. Three, The Sandlot. And two, Whitewater Summer. And my number one. Kevin's looking at me like, are you going to step over my toes here? I picked Point Break.
Oh, damn it. How did I forget that?
Yeah.
Damn it.
Locals only, man.
I fucking love Point Break.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm ashamed that I've not seen Point Break live yet.
My friend
it's
just
amazing.
Told me about this.
I
did you see it?
Oh, yeah. It's great. I saw the original cast. What's happening?
My IMDb started playing the Soundlot trailer. My IMDb app.
I saw the original cast. I believe it's a new cast now. But I mean, if they're doing the same show, it's hilarious. And you got to get your little Point Break audience kit that comes with a poncho and like money for when they rob you.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's hilarious.
God damn it. I'm so ashamed.
Where is that at?
It's at this place called The Dragonfly down on Melrose, I believe, in like the theater district.
Do you know anything about it? Because the one thing that's really cool that they do is they pick their Johnny Utah out of the crowd every year.
Yeah.
Oh,
and he
really?
Reads off cue cards, the lines. That's what they do, right? That's what I've been told.
Yeah, well, they have one of the actors plays Catherine Bigelow. And so she's she's with him, like, directing him through everything. He's like, all right, now do this.
I did not hear about that. That's awesome.
Oh,
that's awesome.
It's hilarious. That's so she's, really like, cool. Cueing him throughout the thing. But, yeah, they pick him out of the audience, and they have auditions to play Johnny Utah at the beginning. That's how it starts.
Okay.
So cool. And then you play Johnny Utah for the whole show. It sold out when I was there.
It's been going on for like at least a couple of years.
Yeah,
right?
A while now. Yeah, because I saw it a while because I knew the camera guy because they record it every night and like
they record every performance of it.
they did back in the day. Wow, so, like, that's after awesome. You were done, if you played Johnny Utah, you could buy it.
Oh, that's okay. Great. That's the tape. Well, yeah, you'd obviously, yeah.
And it's hilarious. And the way they would do, like, the skydiving.
How the hell did they do it?
They just would hang you from a hook.
Oh, my God.
It's really funny. And it's really quick. Like, it's not an hour and a half long. It's, like, maybe an hour. It's an abridged version. But it's hilarious. And the guy that played Pappas, hilarious, talking about getting my two meatball subs. two, Johnny, two. I love it. Point Break is a great pick.
Yeah, Point Break is a fantastic.
Not a camp movie, so I can rationalize not picking it.
Yeah, it just reminds me of summer. No, and, you know, I can't believe Anthony Kiedis starts a fight with Keanu Reeves.
Doesn't he get shot in the foot?
Yeah, he does.
Shoots himself in the foot.
Yeah.
And then this movie was remade, but not giving credit to, with the Fast and the Furious.
Yeah.
I'm like, damn you.
Guys. Yeah, not nearly anywhere.
Yeah.
No.
Or entertaining.
No.
It had no Gary Busey. If they had Gary Busey, they could have gotten to a level. I mean, Ted Levine
was there, but they didn't use him in the same way.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, Point Break has really grown on me over the years. It's really.
I've always loved it.
I've loved it even more than I loved it.
You know what I mean?
Like, I just adore it.
It was shameful how much I loved this movie growing up. Like, we went on vacation, and I made them rent it for me.
Oh,
we
awesome.
Were on vacation, and I was like, I want to watch Point Break.
Yeah. I remember watching it when it first came out, because I must have been like 11, 12, and being like, I started watching it without knowing anything, and I'd be like, what? Why is the dude from Ghost all like a badass? Why isn't he singing Unchained Melody? Like, what's going on here?
Hadn't seen Roadhouse, is what you're
saying. I hadn't seen Roadhouse.
Well, wasn't that after?
The best cooler in the world.
Point Break?
No.
I think Roadhouse was like 88.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Roadhouse is pre. Wow, you're right. You're right.
Point Break is 91.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, this movie's so fun and just like. It has everything. It's got like skydiving, bank robbery, surfing, and Lori Petty.
Yep.
That's all you need as a kid.
I like and Lori Petty.
Yeah. So yeah, that is my number one.
Okay. That's
a great pick.
Recap. 5 was Friday the 13th. 4 Adventureland. 3 Sandlot. 2 Wet Hot American Summer. And my number one was Jaws.
Nice.
Okay, my number 5, also Friday the 13th. Number 4, Sleepaway Camp. Number 3, The Burning. Number 2, Addams Family Values. And my number 1 was Wet Hot American Summer.
Hey.
Boom.
Done.
Good stuff.
Done. That's the list. Yeah. Love it. Any honorable mentions you guys want to list off?
A bunch.
Yeah, I got a bunch too.
All right. Let's start off.
All right. I'm just reading straight from my list here. Jaws, The Burning, Stand By Me, Roller Coaster, One Crazy Summer. I thought somebody would probably pick that.
Yeah, I was surprised that didn't pop up.
Yeah. Wet Hot American Summer, Lucas, Summer Camp Nightmare, Heavyweight, Corvette Summer, Whitewater Summer, Poison Ivy, the one with Michael J. Fox and Nancy McKeon, Race for Your Life, Charlie Brown, and Back to the Beach.
Nice.
All right, so I got My Girl, Wet Hot American Summer, Dirty Dancing, Grease, Super 8, and Friday the 13th.
Sweet.
Super 8, yeah.
Grease. I almost went there.
I
was going to do a list of nothing but movies where they talk about something that happened in summer. During summer.
I had a movie that takes place, the whole world takes place during summer, and it was Solar Babies. Have you guys seen that?
No.
Dude, I was the same conversation with the Maniac thing. We were talking about Solar Babies last night. I'm not kidding. And my friend was like, have you ever seen this movie? I'm like, yeah. He's like, I haven't seen it, but it's one of those movies that you can't believe it ever got made.
Yeah.
It's just so strange.
Now
I have to watch it.
I have no idea. What is this movie?
So I'm going to give you the pitch, right? The guy walks into the executive's office, and he's like, okay, I got a movie, okay? It's going to star. I know these two people are hot off of The Lost Boys, and that's Jamie Gertz and Patrick, what's his name?
Jason Patrick.
Okay, we're going to put those two as our leads. And it's a post-apocalyptic movie. And Michael Ironside's going to be chasing them down. And it's post-apocalyptic, but everybody rolls in roller skates, I think.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
And he's like, everybody's got to wear roller
blades.
Yeah. And someone's like, okay, we need a really young kid, Lucas Haas. Done. Greenlit. And they escape from like this camp where they're like prisoners, and like the whole world is like, it's, there's a huge like drought, and they're looking for water, and you can't imagine this movie got made.
So the high concept pitch would be, It's Fortress meets Mad Max meets Starlight Express.
With kids. with
Make it.
with
Go.
People Wait, what's playing? Starlight Express?
Oh, it's a roller skating musical by Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Oh, Everyone's wow, okay. How did I not know that?
It's, no, it's okay that you didn't know that.
Well, no, but I feel like I crave all things roller skating, so roller boogie, you know, I love Skate Town USA, so I feel ashamed.
And then my last three were Falling Down, My Girl, and I put Colors in there.
Oh, kind of that's a pretty good movie. I like that. That holds up.
There you go. A little gang violence for you.
I that was one of the soundtrack tapes that I almost wore out. Yeah. That and Beverly Hills Cop 2 for some strange reason.
Yeah.
I had that.
Did you really? Yeah. Shake Down.
I had, It was, I can't even think. Who sang Shake Down again? Wasn't it?
Bob Seger.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Did part two still have The Heat Is On?
No. And it didn't have Axel F on the soundtrack. I don't think they used Axel F in part two at all, which is really weird to me.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I only had three honorable mentions: Caddyshack, Point Break.
Oh, Caddyshack. Jesus.
And Vacation.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Those are all good. Damn, Caddyshack.
Okay. Heavyweights, Meatballs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Predator 2.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Yeah.
Predator 1.
I mean, I guess Predator works also, but I prefer Predator 2. Jaws, Summertime, Katharine Hepburn, 1955.
Yeah.
And then I didn't have Do the Right Thing because I had it already.
Yeah.
And then I'm assuming it does. Yeah, it does take place because school's not in session yet. Wait, no, but it is. Okay, this movie's very confusing. Die Hard with a Vengeance.
It's summer.
It's summer, but they're in school.
Yeah, it could be summer school.
But that's but it's not high school.
I think summer...
Because remember, there's a big plot point that revolves around, like, I'm going to blow up a school. So the kids are in school, but they're having the back-to-school sale. It's
you
very
know what?
Confusing.
You're right.
back-to-school sale.
And then it's raining at one point. So it can be summer.
Yes, and it does start raining.
Yeah.
What?
It's weird, yeah.
It couldn't rain in summer?
It rains. I guess it can rain in summer.
Yeah, what?
No, it's not allowed to rain in summer.
How is that a reason?
I don't know. It never rains here in
summer.
Yeah,
the rain wasn't my thing. The school issue was my thing.
I was born and raised in L.A.,
like,
so
I've never seen
rain in summer.
It's the big back-to-school sale at Bonwit Teller's, and then he blows it up. But then later on in the movie, the kids are in school. So did they just go back? It's very confusing.
Yeah.
But again, it starts off with Summer in the City, so that's what makes me think it's a summer movie.
That makes sense.
Is that it? Did you get all the honorable mentions? Done? Done, then.
Boom.
So you can find this on the website at www.thelistfilmpodcast.com. You'll find all the links, Twitter stuff, everything. You can find us on Twitter at The Film Podcast. And then you can find me on Twitter at Ricardo, ULTRERES.
I'm at Jenei, JEHNEIGH.
I'm at Bob Freelander, BOBFREELANDER.
I'm at An Adam Scott, AN underscore Adam Scott.
And I'm at K Zuberbier, that's ZUBERBIER.
And you could find in-depth reviews and such on Adam's website, which is shootingthescript.com. No more WordPress, right?
No more WordPress. I mean, we're on WordPress, but you don't have to type in the WordPress. No, just shootingthescript.com.
And you could find some of his reviews, too, on the
MoviePass blog.
Yeah.
Blog.moviepass.com.
And then, Brian?
RupertPupkinSpeaks.blogspot.com.
Done.
And don't give him shit about the blogspot.
No. Well, I need to
fix that, but I'm a lazy ass.
Come on, man. Get the .com.
I do need to do it.
It's too much like blogspot.gov.edu. all right. So you can find us there. Tweet us, you know, some of your topics that you want us to talk about. Tweet us your picks for this episode. Whatever you want to do. Whatever. Argue with us. We don't give a crap. And rate us on iTunes if you can. That'd help us. I don't know how it would help us, but it would help us.
Our morals. Our morals.
Our morals. Our morals will change.
I don't know about all
I'm
that.
I'm good with my words.
My morals are set.
It'd be good moral support.
Yeah, that's the word.
Yeah. And also, if you're going to buy something off Amazon, why not do it through our website? And, you know, we'll get a couple of shekels thrown our way. So until next time, have a good week.